It's a pleasure to have Joel Ivey of Collect Assembly here on The Antidote for a chat. It's great to meet you, Joel.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Nice meeting you.
You aren't the only member of Collect Assembly. Why don't you fill us in about the rest of the band?
Yeah, so we are missing our lead singer right now, Morgan Grenwald. She's my sister-in-law. And then our producer is actually Morgan's cousin, Adam Breitkreitz. And then we have Steve Gibson and Courtney Custer.
So you mean half the band? It's like a family band plus a few extras.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, from what I've seen, it looks like you and Morgan are the key members. Is the point of having other members meant just to flesh out the band's sound?
Yeah, a little bit. We all kind of have been together doing different projects and kind of fooling around with each other in the sense of music stuff. And so we figured when we started Collect Assembly, why not just do it all together? Yeah, so Adam started a studio, it would have been 3 or 4 years ago, and that's what kind of brought us all together.
Well, that's what I was interested to hear, is about how Collect Assembly actually came to be.
Yeah, that would be a little piece of the story. Now, we could get a little bit deeper.
But how did you choose the members? That's the key thing.
Yeah, yes. The members was just, it was kind of just a ragtag thing, but I think God ordained the people in the band. And so, yeah, we would just be a collection of people who God have put together in the moment.
Because that way you can never fire anybody. You realize that.
Yeah.
Otherwise you're going against God's will.
Yeah. Okay. But he doesn't necessarily ordain time. Like I'm trying to put a loophole here. Collect Assembly initially was supposed to be a worship collective, and that came out of me doing worship stuff myself and then wanting to kind of step back and write with other people. But being in the middle of nowhere in Yorkton, it was really hard to get together with people. But then I had these people in the backyard the whole time. And Morgan is such a brilliant songwriter, and Steve is such a brilliant guitar player, and Courtney just fills out everything with all of her auxiliary instruments, banjo, mandolin, acoustic guitar, and Adam has been doing the studio thing forever, so it made sense. And then going forward, we'll see where we end up.
Well, you and I are here together today to talk about the band's debut album, Outlaw Gospel. The first single from that was Dry Bones, and the chorus says, "Oh, dry bones, listen to my voice. I will make you live again with my breath. You will come to life so you will know I am, I am." Now, you got to tell me, though, how does any of us ever move on from having dry bones?
Well, that's a tough question. That song comes straight out of it, Ezekiel 37, and that passage is kind of hard to figure out what it indeed is alluding to, whether or not it's like literal or like what's exactly going on there. So that song to me means that when we are feeling distant from God, when we are feeling distant and everything's falling apart, it's our job to cry out to him and know that he responds with victory, with putting flesh on those bones, with giving you life and life to the fullest and life eternally. And it gives us joy knowing that Jesus has indeed fulfilled everything and died for us on the cross. So that's where we get our flesh and bones.
So that song has you taking lead vocals, but many of the album's songs has Morgan on lead.
Yeah.
Who decides which of you will be featured on a song?
I think it's just a conversation between Morgan and I. I always prefer her leading. We're actually in the studio currently, and I haven't told her this yet. But I think she'll be leading 80% of the songs in this second album, and we'll do them kind of a little bit more duetty, whereas in the past, like in this first album, Outlaw Gospel, it was mostly one or the other with just background vocals from the other person. But yeah, I think it's just a conversation. Sometimes it has to do with who's more attached to the song, who's more attached to the writing and the words and all that kind of stuff.
Does this mean that the songwriting is just you and Morgan?
Yeah. And currently on this next album, it's been mostly Morgan. So when we first started, I had lots of time to sit down and be involved in the creative process from beginning to end. That means lyrically picking chords, doing the scratch tracks, doing all that kind of stuff. But now that the band is kind of rolling, it's been a lot harder for us to do it in that way. So right now I would be kind of acting as like a manager, that kind of thing. And Morgan's writing and Adam is full-time in the studio creating content, that kind of stuff. So yeah, that's kind of where we're at. But yeah, Outlaw Gospel, all the songs on that record have been co-written together and worked on as a whole team.
Well, heading back to Morgan, are you going to be annoyed if I tell you that she does have the prettier voice?
Oh, by far. You just have to convince her she does. Yeah, I love listening to Morgan and her voice, and her melody choices are just so out of the box that I find that when I take a song that we've written together, I sometimes make it too simple. I really feel like she is by far the best singer in the band.
Well, she really is outstanding. And the song Holy Wedding Day features her voice. You're speaking about the songwriting. Were those song lyrics her idea?
Holy Wedding Day? That would have been about 2 years ago when we wrote that one. We kind of had the idea of doing like the wedding theme that kind of put throughout the Bible. Yeah, that song is kind of our biggest reach for the Bible as a whole, like telling the whole story of the Bible, which is an impossible task. That was actually one that we split pretty well as far as the writing goes. But yeah, she sings that one so well.
Well, I do appreciate Holy Wedding Day. What I really like about it is how it changes the focus of Adam and Eve. When it says the story of the world, it begins with a man and his bride, a broken creation pursued and betrothed to Christ, clothed in corruption and woefully incomplete, yet cherished, desired, and loved by the King of Kings. So you bring in the connection of creation and relate it to Christ then.
Yeah, that was kind of one of our biggest themes on this album, was taking the goodness of creation and really leaning into that. That's where Echo comes from as well, is doing that thing where we look to creation to see how God reveals himself and reflect it through praises, through singing, through good and perfect love back to him.
Well, obviously the songs are all focused on Christ and faith, but now do all the band members feel the same way?
Yeah. So we all kind of come from different churches and different walks of life, but yes, we all are Christians.
And there's no denominational disputes.
There is, big time. that's probably one of our favorite things to do.
We've got to speak a little bit more about Morgan, because I read something about her being autistic.
Yeah.
Now, one of my kids is on the spectrum, so I know certain situations can really bring on quite a bit of stress.
Yeah.
How does Morgan handle performing?
It's difficult, and it's something that we try to handle as a band as sensitively as possible. She does so well, and she's so calculated with her performance, and yet the pressure of all the social stuff going into it, it's pretty high. So we try to mitigate that as well as possible. But yeah, if she's having a bad time, she has a service dog, and we've taken like a support person on tour with us as well. So yeah, we do a lot of different things because it is pretty full on when you're on the road. I'm so devoted to making sure that the show goes forward as well as possible. And so I can't pay attention to Morgan as much as I'd like to be able to. Like when we're at home writing and that kind of stuff, we can keep stress low. But yeah, when we're on the road, it's definitely a challenge, that's for sure.
It sounds like being on the road is a regular thing.
Yeah, we like to. We were out this summer quite a bit in bigger centers, in the West here. And yeah, that's kind of our first love is playing live. We love connecting with fans. We love connecting with people in person and telling our stories that way. I think we're good at it. We treat our live show kind of like how For King and Country does. It's a pretty big act, and the whole thing is just a work of art that we've worked very hard on.
And that's why you need a tour bus.
Yes, that is a tour bus and a trailer.
You and I need to talk about my favorite song, and that's the new single, Back to Life. That
Yeah.
has to be one of the catchiest songs I've heard in a long time.
Okay.
There's one verse that says, "He's been searching, but he can't find the answers. All these pressures are drowning his drive. He feels worthless. Only fools see a smile and think that everything's all right." You gotta tell me where that story came from.
Morgan actually wrote that verse. So I couldn't tell you exactly where it comes from, but it is such an easy verse to relate with as a man. It's so easy to lose all of our drive because of the stresses that are around us. And yeah, that song was written pretty much start to finish by Morgan, and it's this I guess plea with our humanity. And just presenting it in front of God. That song is such a fun song to sing live. Yeah, it's such a good song to sing as a duet. That song is so honest and real and just says it how it is.
Well, that's the thing that I like about the music from Collect Assembly, because you guys do go deeper than what you find from many Christian artists.
Yeah, I think that's something that we really wanted to lean into. Big time was the struggles that we will actually face in this life. Sometimes we just fluff about it as Christians and just say Jesus is the answer, you know, he'll bring all joy and all life and all these kinds of things. But if you actually read the Bible, there's so much darkness, so much real life that's in there. That's indeed why we needed Jesus. That's indeed why we need the gospel, is to be able to face these dark things and hopefully be able to shine light on them. Like that's kind of our goal is to, and our calling as humans is to take these things that Jesus has revealed to us and shine them in the darkest places. And you can't shine in the darkest places if you don't deal with them. You can't just be this bright light in a bright room. That's not really how that works.
Then, honestly, how often does Collect Assembly play non-Christian venues?
We haven't. We've been talking a lot about going to do kind of like a bar tour. We're trying to figure out what the logistics of that would be like. But yeah, it's definitely something on our radar.
You were speaking a little bit earlier about being from Yorkton, Saskatchewan. You and I both know that the Christian music market, it's tiny in Canada. So, will being from Yorkton limit your reach?
I think we're very lucky to live in the time that we live with social media and connections that way. There is no tearing me out of Yorkton. I own a business in Yorkton. I love the people. I've tried escaping like five times, but we keep coming back because the people are just so wonderful to be around. They're so grounded, so down to earth. So you're not going to tear me out of here to go to Nashville anytime soon. Now, does it hinder us? It might hinder us a little bit, but we also have lots of easy ways to get to places. We have a bus, we have all these things, and we've been lucky enough to use them in the past with other bands and other projects. Yeah, we find ways to get to where people need us.
That's perfect. Every one of your songs relates to your Christian walk, but you really bring that to the front with the Lord's Prayer. What's different about this one is that you expand on the prayer and also turn it into this country-styled worship song. Now, have you alienated anyone with that?
What do you mean by alienated? Like, have we scared people off? Is that what you're asking?
Exactly.
Yeah, I think we probably have, but I don't know if we worry about that too much. We find that our fans, they're kind of fringe Christians. They don't identify with CCM music as it is recorded currently. So I think that we put on a pretty decent edge, that people can consume it easier at that level. Yeah, I think we scare some people. I know my grandma sometimes calls me out on our music, but I just have to remind people, like, music is subjective. Not everyone's gonna love this style. Not everyone's gonna love this thing that we built, but there are people that do, and they are just as important as you are, is what I would like to say to them.
Why don't you just keep it simple and just say, if you don't like Collect Assembly, you have zero taste.
Yeah, I could say it that way. That might put them off a little more. Yeah, we're not super scared of doing that either.
There's something I've been confused by. I've seen the name Collect Assembly written as two words, each beginning with a capital letter. And then I've also seen the name written as all lowercase with just a period in between the two words. So
Yeah.
now you got to tell me, are you as confused as I am?
Yeah, so when I first registered everything, it was collect.assembly all lowercase. Now, you run into issues with that, but I already registered it so many different places, including like SoCan and the way that we collect royalties, that kind of thing. It's hard to go back to just like collect assembly, like all like capitals. So yeah, that is one of our conundrums that we've run into as a band and as branding the band. But yeah, everywhere as far as radio and all that kind of stuff, it's all lowercase with the period.
Okay, now I've got it. Well, choosing a band name is important. Does Collect Assembly have a certain meaning?
Yes. Well, I'll tell you the story right from the beginning. I was in an accident, it would have been 6 years ago. And I felt like God was calling me back into doing some kind of music. So I was in a band previous to that accident. The band broke up about 3 years before that. I got in this accident, and when I was recovering from this accident, I had a lot of special time with Jesus, and it felt like God was calling me back into leading people in worship and sharing my story through music and that kind of thing. So when I started as Joel Jones Worship because I wasn't sure what I was doing. So I didn't want to use my name Joel Ivy because that name is so, it's everywhere as far as my business stuff goes. So I switched alias to Joel Jones for the worship stuff, wrote a couple songs. They were decent. But at the same time as registering joeljonesworship.com, I registered a thing called Collect Assembly. And I knew that I didn't want to be like a solo front man. I didn't want to be just another named worship artist, that kind of thing. I wanted to include people in this because that's always been my heart, is to empower people to do great things. So registering Collect Assembly, then it was supposed to be a worship collective. We were supposed to get people together to write and to record and do all that kind of stuff together. And that was getting really hard to do because kind of the closest people that are interested in doing that kind of stuff are all in Saskatoon, and to try and con those people to come to our music studio in Yorkton is pretty hard. So then we just one cold December day, I got together with Morgan and Pierre, so my brother and sister-in-law, and Morgan's like, "Hey, I got this idea for a song," so we started writing this song together. And it turned out really well. It will be on this next album featuring an artist from Alberta, and it's one of my favorite songs that we've ever written. It's more of a worship style than our normal stuff is. That's where Collect Assembly got its beginning. That's where it got its name. And there's no looking back at this point.
You're just going to have to deal with the consequences.
That's exactly right.
Now, there's something interesting about Collect Assembly, and that's how your style varies. You know, sometimes it has a country music flavor. Other times it bridges more into light rock or even alternative, like what you hear on Relentlessly. You don't want to stick with a specific sound?
We do like to experiment. That first album, Outlaw Gospel, was a big experiment. When we first got in the studio, we thought it was going to be a worship thing. We used to sing it in church. We used to do all that kind of stuff with acoustic guitars, that kind of stuff. Dry Bones was the first one that we ended up recording. And we used electric guitars and played it in a minor key. And it ended up being something that we really liked and attached to. So we tried to make the album as close to that as possible. But there were a lot of songs on that album written with different genres in mind. That is definitely something that I think is a little more honed in on this next album that we will be releasing next summer.
You haven't explained to me yet as to why Collect Assembly decided to title the album Outlaw Gospel.
Yeah, so when we got to the end of the album, we're like, well, what do we call it? Should we just name it like a name of one of the songs? What should we do? And we're like, well, what genre is this even? Where are we going to be able to sell this music? Where are people going to listen to this music? Are people going to like this music? So the genre that we titled it is Outlaw Gospel. Now, Outlaw Gospel to us has a lot more meaning because we do believe that Jesus was kind of an outlaw to everybody. He came as Messiah, but he didn't look like how anyone thought that the Messiah, the Jewish Messiah, would look.
Yeah.
The suffering servant is totally backwards and upside down from how people thought messiahship should look like. So that's why we ran with that title. And that's part of how we see the gospel is that upside downness of what Jesus revealed himself to be.
So there's no pictures of all the band members hanging on the wall at the Yorkton post office saying wanted.
No, not yet.
I do find that the songs on Outlaw Gospel all share about walking with Christ, but you really take that up another level on the final song, Echo. Was it important to finish the album with really what's effectively a full-bore worship song?
Well, I'm glad that you realize that it's a full-bore worship song. I sing that song at church a lot. That song almost didn't make the album because I thought it was too happy for the album. But it is one of my favorite songs that we've written in the sense of we sat down one Thanksgiving dinner, myself, Morgan, and Pierre again, and Morgan was just kind of overwhelmed with the social aspect of it because it wasn't even at her home. It was at like, it was my family. I don't know why, like we invited them out for Thanksgiving supper and my family is loud. So we went down to the basement, sat on the couch, and I think I had a guitar. Yeah, I must have had a guitar. We wrote that song in like 45 minutes. I love that song so much. I think it says exactly what I was learning at that time. Where like creation sings about your glory. Like you can find God throughout creation wherever you are. You just slow down. Slow down your step, slow down your life, slow down your breathing, and you're gonna see God revealed in front of you. And yet that's such a high energy song that sometimes you forget that that's kind of what it's calling you to is to look for those things and then reflect them in a bold and excited way.
Are you saying that worship music nowadays is boring?
You're reading between the lines, but I'm not going to deny that. No, I shouldn't say it's boring. We've written a lot of worship songs together. The problem that we have is it feels boring to us because for us, it just feels like we're taking the Bible. We're taking the words already spoken of God, we put them in a blender, and we just regurgitate them. And that's a good thing to do. Singing scripture is an amazing thing to do. It's great to do with congregation. It's great to do as God's people together. But so often, you are tied to simple chord patterns. You're tied to simple melodies. That's something that actually Morgan struggles with more than I. I love simple stuff. Morgan has just songs in her mind all the time. She doesn't listen to a lot of music, but her mind works in this musical way. Her melodies are so out of pocket that when she goes to church and worships in a congregation, she doesn't identify that easy worship as her true worship. So that's where we get all of our experimental stuff from.
To carry on, why should worship music be simple? Why can't it be more involved?
Yeah, so if you ask us, our album is worship. It's worship for us. If you ask a lot of people in our local congregations, they'll see our music as something different. And that's fine. I don't let that offend me. There's a story that I like to tell. I was at Bible school with my best friend, and a worship band came in to do some songs, and I was like fully engulfed in this one bridge that they were singing over and over again, like just full on in worship. Eyes closed, hands up, and for a Baptist, that's a pretty rare occurrence. And after 2 minutes of this bridge go by, my best friend leans over to me. He's like, "When are they going to finish this song?" And at that moment, I realized, like, he wasn't enthralled by these words. He wasn't enthralled by the music and the moment and all these things. And what I felt like God's presence speaking to me in that moment, the guy beside me didn't. And that's totally okay and totally normal. Some Sundays people are going to go to church and they're going to hear something that they feel like was direct God's speaking to them. And some people are going to be like, that's totally backwards from what I heard. And I think that's okay. Now, should we make worship music more complicated in church? I don't know. Maybe there's a time for that. I think I like to push the edge at my local church, but I'm sure it makes people uncomfortable. So is that the right thing to do as a worship leader? I don't know.
Sometimes we should be stretched.
Yes.
You guys are on a stretch. But here you are, Collect Assembly released your debut album at the end of July. But you guys are already back in the studio recording a new album. Are you actually nuts?
Yeah, we are kind of crazy. It's such a blessing having a producer as part of the family. He works so hard and he's so good at what he does. And I think this next album is going to be way better than our initial album. But that's, as musicians, we're always attached to the latest thing that we've written. So, yeah, it's such a blessing to have him be able to do that. Myself and Adam have been in the music business since like 2014, 2015. So we're pretty comfortable with timelines and that kind of thing. Our first album is actually, it was signed to a sync license deal. So APM Music actually promotes our songs for commercials and for those kind of things. So working under, I guess it's like technically a label, except for it's a lot, like we have a lot more wiggle room in what we can do, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But working with a label, you have time constraints, you have those kinds of things. And that's something that pushes us.
Well, I appreciate what I've been hearing. And Joel, I want to thank you so much for coming to The Antidote for this great talk.
Well, thank you, Dave.